Thank you. First of all, thank you hugely. Thanks to everybody at Caterham School, all the dignitaries. These two, Kerry, wonderful speeches. No pressure on me then. And also to all of you, I have this thing, I love talking to VIPs. You're the VIPs. We live in a strange world where people like Kim Kardashian, people like footballers who are paid, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds and yet run around with a foul mouth arguing with the referee, we put them up on the pedestal as VIPs. But you're all VIPs. Every single person in this tent, we all are. All of us, in our own individual way, somewhere in our pathway in life, we will be a VIP to someone or something. And it's really important to kind of remember that, because our paths are different. And at certain moments comes the opportunity to go forwards and make this massive difference to the world. And I'm just going to reflect on things that I've learned over the 57 years. I can remember being back here, kind of where you lot were. And if you'd said to me, where would I be when I was 57? I wouldn't have had a clue. And especially if I'd thought about the pathway to get there and all those experiences and opportunities and failures and falling down and getting back up again, I never could have imagined it. And primarily, I think there's a thing called the deal. And the deal is that we give something back. You know, we're lucky. All of us will have got up this morning, we'll have had breakfast, we'll all go home to a safe, secure place of where we live, and we'll have a roof over our head, and we'll be comfortable, and we will eat well. Millions of people, hundreds of millions of people in the world don't have that. So we have this added obligation to try and make a difference and to protect the world, because it is quite a stunning place, this world. It's absolutely amazingly beautiful. And even, you know, from when you look at big mountains to when you look at tiny little insects, it's the complexity is absolutely amazing. So spend that time and cherish that beauty of it all. Myself personally, I grew up on Dartmoor. My dad was a doctor, my mum was a nurse. And they took me, you know, I grew up on the edge of the moors. I experienced the natural world and the moors, but also the beaches. And that was where I kind of formulated that link to the beaches and to surfing, which became, you know, the passion of my life. I still surf as much as I can. And I know on Monday, around about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's going to be perfect. So I'll be there. And there's a thing about surfing. You know, when you paddle for a wave, and this is an analogy for life, when you paddle for a wave, if you don't commit, one of two things happen. You either get pitched out with the lip, and you get drilled into the bottom, and it hurts, and you miss that, or you miss the wave. You miss the ride of your life. So whatever it is you do in life, paddle hard, commit to it, and do that. So there I was at school, going along, and my dad said to me, you know, what are you going to do for your A-levels? And I was going, well, I really like writing and English and all of that. And he said, yeah, but I want you to be a doctor. And I was going, oh, dearie, dearie. Anyway, I said, but I want to write. And he said, well, if you became a doctor, you could always write for the British Medical Journal. So anyway, I did the three sciences, chemistry, physics, and biology. And, you know, 2 years later, I went in for my results, got to the school, and the teacher smiled at me and said, you failed the lot, Chris. And I had. He wasn't joking. I completely, nothing, zero in 2 years. So I kind of went home and had a conversation with my dad. My mum and dad saying, you know, this is a bit of a crisis. And I was going, you're not kidding me, you know. I feel that myself. So anyway, so then I ended up a year later. I went and pursued my passion, and I got a job with a fledgling surfing magazine down in Cornwall. And they only paid me £40 a week, which was enough to have a vehicle or a place to live. I had to have a vehicle. So I lived the first 6 months in a van at the back of a beach, which for a surfer is pretty damn good, really. I could wake up and go surfing every morning and work and then. And basically, I pursued that life around the world, working in Australia, going to Morocco, all these places. And I pursued that life for 10 years, really. There was a little piece in Country Living magazine once, when about SAS, and it said, Heinz used to be a beach bum. And my mum read this in Country Living, and she was outraged, and she rang up my sister and said, "This is terrible. We should." And my sister said, "Well, it's true. That's what he did." But having travelled around the world, I'd seen all these places. I'd surfed over reefs where I could see the coral and the fish and everything underneath me. And back in the UK, after a year in Australia, I was surfing at our local beach, and I couldn't even see my feet when I was sitting on my surfboard because of the gross pollution. And we as a community decided to do something, and that was our moment. That was our moment to step forward. And, you know, always we had our aim, and the aim was to be able to enjoy the coastal waters of the UK for the wonderful thing that they are, for pleasure, recreation, tourism. And that aim we always held here in our hearts and our minds. And I think everything in life, it's a combination of the two. And always try and keep that balance between the heart and the mind. So our aim was to do that, to be clean. The problem, oh, that was easy. And I quote Margaret Thatcher, she was Prime Minister at the time. She stated on BBC Nature in 1989, all sewage is treated before discharge. That was a downright lie. There were 400 million gallons of completely crude sewage coming out around Britain's coastline every single day when she said that. From Newquay to Newcastle, Blackpool to Brighton, if you flushed the toilet, it literally went straight out into the sea without even a basic sieve in place. That was the state of our coastline, and we decided we were going to damn well do something about this. Now, it's easy to whinge. It's easy to kind of say, oh, that's the problem. You've got to find the solution. And we looked high and low, and we found on the island of Jersey that they'd done this thing called UV disinfection, where they'd treated it to a standard, not built along the outfall, but they treated it to a standard where it was clean in their outfall pipe. And I was called to go and give evidence to a Houses of Parliament Select Committee, so I put my best suit and tie on. Remember, if you're going to go and talk to a bunch of people with suits and ties on, put a suit and tie on, they'll take you more seriously. And they asked me, they said, how confident are you in this technology? And I said, based on the bacterial count in Jersey's outfall pipe, I would feel 50 times safer sticking my head up Jersey's outfall pipe than I would bathing on a government-passed beach. Now, about a week after I made that statement, the island of Jersey's tourist board phoned me up and they said, this would make really good advertising for us. So over I went to the island of Jersey, and we had all of the media, we had Sky, BBC, ITV, everybody all on the outfall pipe, and I jumped off the end and I turned around on my surfboard and I paddled as hard as I could and I duck-dived into the mouth of 100,000 people's sewage. And I got that far up the pipe before I was blown back out with the force of it. But I stand by what I said. It looked, tasted and smelt cleaner than the beaches that we were bathing on. And it was £9 million cheaper. So we'd found our solution. And once we'd found our solution, you know, Welsh Water suddenly adopted a full sewage treatment policy. We cut the ribbon on their treatment works. It's our name on that brass plaque. So we suddenly then had a big water company with which to beat the other ones up. So that kind of thing of driving forward, we found our solution. We had a team that by this time we'd raised membership and we were having a turnover of about £420,000. And a team, it's really important. It's a we, not I. We all achieve things in life through working with others, and it's always really important to remember that. We worked hard to create the environment for change. And we did that through working with the media. You know, we had a piece in the whole page in the Daily Mirror within 3 months of forming. We had a Channel 4 documentary following us. I've done BBC Panorama, Channel 4 News, you name it, we kind of did it. If we knew there was a camera wanting to film about sewage, we would go anywhere within the UK within 24 hours. We even co-wrote the script for BBC Casualty at one point, reaching 14 million people with our story. Politics, we were at home working and we went, well, there's only one way to change this. We've got to go where the power is. So within 10 months of forming, we did a lobby of the Houses of Parliament. You can do this. It's really easy. You just phone up, ask to speak to the sergeant at arms, and go and make that protest. They're incredibly facilitating. The day we arrived, we got the Secretary of State for the Environment, the spokesman for the opposition, and the Lib Dems all there at our meeting. And the day we arrived, the government announced a £2 million spend on research into the health effects of bathing in sewage contaminated seawater. So that a very act of stepping forward triggered that spend. Have that confidence. Law, we used our law. You know, in this country, we've got brilliant laws, and our laws are looked at from around the globe. And they're held as things, and we use the laws. We judicially reviewed a council, took them to the Royal Courts of Justice in London, and won. We bought shares in every single water company, because that gave us right of access to their AGMs. We used to be asked for comment and affect share prices in the city. We were used as medicine. We knew the power of science, so we had our mouths swabbed and our blood sucked, and sure enough, surfers are three times more likely to contract hepatitis A than the general public. We used engineering, and we got to know all of these things. We knew our brief. We knew our brief so well that when there was a change of government and Labour came to power, and it doesn't matter which way your politics, it was whoever was coming to power at that moment, we were called as a special advisor to the Secretary of State. We went and did that, and we helped trigger a £5.5 billion cleanup of the coastal waters around the UK. And when you go to the coast today, it's immensely different. There are no continuous discharges of raw sewage anymore. Sometimes when it pours with rain, there are CSOs and discharges, but the job is done. Tourism is safe. I wanted to mention one thing here. Hands up if you've ever had any issue with mental health. Everybody, please. Genuinely. Close your eyes and then put your hands up. It's tough. Life is tough. And at times it comes roaring at you. There was one day where I gave evidence to a Monopolies and Mergers Commission. And I walked into this room and there were, I think, 15 members of the Monopolies and Mergers Commission, and behind them their advisors and more advisors. So there are probably 50 people in this room. And I'd been working really hard. In my side of the room, there was one glass of water, one name tag. And that was me. And they were brilliant. They allowed me to say what I needed to say. That weekend, I'd also had other complications in my life. And it was tough. And I completely lost it. I reached a point where I couldn't walk down a street without crying. And I was signed off for 6 weeks. So mental health is a massive issue. Be aware of it. Look after people. Ask the questions whether they're okay. You know, you can come back from it, but we should all be aware of that. We'd achieved 85% of what we set out to do in 10 years. So I left. I was tired. I took a year out for a recharge and a reboot and plenty of surfing. And then Eden asked me to go and work for them. And I went there to learn about and campaign about how all of us, all 7 billion of us, can live on the same planet, at one planet living, which WWF have led so brilliantly. Because at the moment, if all 7 billion of us want to live in the same way as the average American, it's 5 planets we need. The average European, it's 3.5. We've got one, and we've got to really get smart as to how we do it. An apology from my generation to your generation. You know, we haven't done enough. We've put this to the thing. We've carried on making profit. You know, there was a shocking statistic that since the Kyoto Protocol was signed up, we've doubled the amount of carbon that we've produced just in that time. The world is in crisis. It's not coming, it is in crisis. The biodiversity is being depleted. There's plastic in our oceans. In some parts of the world, the air just isn't fit to breathe. Our Amazon forests are being chopped down at an alarming rate. We have to do something. And overall, this issue of climate change. But we can do this. Look at the geniuses in this room. Look at the power that you all have, all that belief, all that knowledge. All the tools are there for us. And we have to use all of those tools to use to tell our story, the better vision, the better way of living on the planet. To conclude, the 21st century needs us. It needs us massively. The challenges are huge. But haven't they always been? Tension is good. It drives change. You know, be respectful, but push those boundaries. You know, I've jumped over a 10-foot fence with my wetsuit on and my gas mask on my head, 10-foot inflatable poo on my shoulder, and I've got this close to Tony Blair before when the hand of security stopped me and said, "That's close enough, Mr. Hines." But I was able to say, "Mr. Blair, you do realise that if you're in Cornwall, while you're in Cornwall, if you do a poo, it's going straight in the sea." And he acknowledged me and said, "Very, yes, I'll take that very seriously. We'll sort that one out." And they did sort it out. Be light and quick. Be attractive. Be engaging. Be intelligent. Believe that Homo sapiens can achieve anything. And I note, please note, Homo sapiens, not mankind. This century is about equality. When we have the power of the women, the yin and the yang, then we will achieve in terms of values, knowledge, everything. It's our world, everybody's world. Be passionate, optimistic, challenge the norm. You have an absolute right, and a responsibility to do this. And if you wobble, if you don't think you can do this, or you find it too scary, then just remember that a bunch of surfers with no knowledge whatsoever of any of this managed to help achieve a £5.5 billion cleanup of our coastal waters. And all those other people like Greta who are doing amazing things, remember them and go forwards and make this world a better place. Thank you very much indeed.